I'll thank everybody who has fed my soul before my getting up here. Thank the group of singers for, thank God for the song Use Me. Some people ask, how do you prepare for your talks? I prepare for my talks in New York by singing Use Me, by just asking to be used. I don't prepare anything because I don't know what you all, who will be here and what I will feel needs to be said. So I have said before that it is not me speaking when I'm on platform. It's you speaking. If I prepare what I'm going to say, you will hear from me. If I don't prepare but just draw from the collective energy in this sanctuary, you're hearing from yourself. That's why many people will say in the hug line, it's as though you were speaking specifically to me, or it's as though you were in my apartment all week long watching me freaking out about particularly what I was freaking out about. And I say, it's because you were speaking. Have any of you heard of Joel Osteen? I know that Paul has, and Paul has mentioned him before. And one thing that Paul has remarked about, do I need to not be in front of this? Okay. One thing that Paul has said is that Joel Osteen is teaching the unity message, and he's doing it in mainstream language. And he has hundreds of thousands of people who are actually getting the unity message without knowing that they're getting the unity message. One thing I like about Joel, I was thinking about him last week. I was speaking in Boston, and in Boston, each time in their program, they have the five affirmations. There's one part of Joel's service that I really love, and it's the beginning of the service. The affirmation that we did today is unity's first principle out of the five principles. So Joel starts with the Bible, but consider that this affirmation is followed by the other four, that there are five unity principles written on this program today. I found myself in Boston taking the platform and commenting on Joel, and this is the way he would start his service. But we have affirmations. He holds up a Bible, but this is what he says about the Bible, which is what I want to say about the five unity principles. These are my principles. I am what they say I am. I have what they say I have. And I can do what they say I can do. These are my principles. I am what they say I am. I have what they say I have, and I can do what they say I can do. Once more, these are my principles. Repeat after me, these are my principles. I'll say it first, then you repeat. These are my principles.
These are my principles.
I am who they say I am. I have what they say I have.
I have what they say I have.
And I can do what they say I can do. Once more to grow on, these are my principles.
These are my principles.
I am who they say I am.
I am who they say I am.
I have what they say I have.
I have what they say I have.
And I can do what they say I can do. Today I will be open and receptive and gladly in anticipation of the miracle that is available for me right here and right now. Feel what that feels like. We had a scripture from the Bible. But Unities are not traditionally people who do Bible scriptures all the time, all around the world. But all around the world, sometimes written a little bit differently, are the five principles upon which the Unity organization is founded and grounded. I love when Joel holds up that Bible to Bible-toting and Bible-reading people and says simply, that this is something you must know in order to be open for a transformation of your mind, which will equal a transformation in your life. Imagine getting at deeper and deeper levels that this principle, which we used as our affirmation this morning, is the truth and nothing but the truth, so help you God. Indubitably, without a doubt, unerringly, unfaultingly, that you and I have an opportunity to embrace this truth at the deepest level. This truth also says, this is my principle. God is who it says God is. Can you imagine knowing with all of your heart, all of your soul, and all of your mind that there is only one power and one presence in the universe and in your life, and that that is God, and that God is good? Can you imagine believing with all of your heart, soul, mind, and strength that a spark of divinity, the Christ Spirit, the all-powerful Spirit of divinity itself, is living within you and expressing as you and everyone? Can you imagine believing with all of your heart and soul and mind and strength that nothing is happening to you? Everything is happening through you. Can you imagine truly embracing with all of your heart, soul, mind, and strength that you create your experience of reality by the activity of your thinking, your feeling, your believing, your concentration, that everything in the manifest realm has its beginning in your thought? Can you imagine embracing and believing with all of your heart, all of your mind, all of your soul, what Paul reminded us of, that prayer is creative thinking that connects your mind with God mind and cannot help but bring forth into your life a greater experience of health and wisdom and prosperity, and everything good. This is my challenge sometimes with Carlos, that he can hear these five principles more times than he can count, that he can memorize them, know them by heart, that he can speak and teach about them, that he can read them spoken in different words by different authors, speaking in different ways, yet cannot get to what Joel wants his people to get to and what Paul wants his people to get to, which is a true knowing that when you are tested, because you are always going to be tested, you have always been tested, they will continue to come, that when your next trial comes, when your next test comes, when your next experience of tribulation comes, they will not find you freaking out as much as you freaked out last year. They will find you saying, these are my principles. I am who they say I am. I have what they say I have. And I can do what they say I can do. That reminds me of what I told you a couple of years ago that I got from sitting in my sister's church listening to her speak. And she was saying, we have always already mastered the art of going to God, telling God how big our problems are. We've got it down pat. You don't need no more practice. We are masters of going to God, telling God how big our problems are, how big our challenges are, how big our trials are. My sister said in that Sunday, some 3 or 4 years ago, it's time to turn that around. The next time you are tested, the next time a so-called problem presents itself in your life, stop yourself from going to God to tell God how big your problem is. You look at your problem and tell your problem how big your God is. In the Valley of Elah, in the scriptures, something happened that was a living demonstration of this in the Valley of Elah. In the Valley of Elah, a little boy called David was told by his mother to take these biscuits and porridge to feed your brothers who are soldiers in the army of Israel. They are doing battle with the Philistines. Go and feed them so they can continue fighting. Little David went to give his brothers some food to share amongst themselves and any leftovers to give to some other soldiers, but he didn't find them fighting. He found them cowering. My children, not unfortunately, because all things do work together for good, my children have had moments of experiencing our family going through a trial or a test. Sometimes that had to do with the appearance of dis-ease rather than the appearance of at-ease. And at other times it had to do with the appearance of lack and limitation as opposed to the appearance of abundance and prosperity. And there have been times where they have walked into my office at ages 2 and 4, expecting to find me fighting. And they found me cowering. Cowering over an envelope that had a bill on it, a statement of what was owed, and me cowering in catastrophizing, I don't have enough to meet that. I saw the shock on their faces. Daddy, are you scared about something? And I say that it wasn't, I said that was unfortunate. It wasn't unfortunate. It was a big fat lesson for me because I decided the next time I have a challenge over finances or the appearance of disease, when my kids walk into my office, I want them to find me fighting. Not fighting an outside enemy, but fighting to deepen my understanding that the principles are true. A Course in Miracles says the truth is true, nothing else matters, nothing else is real. And everything beside it is not there. That's where I go sometimes now. When there is a challenge in my family system, I want my children not to see me cowering, but to see me fighting to stay on purpose, to stay in the truth. And so I want each and every one of us to deepen our full belief in these five principles. Because if you can imagine fully believing just the first principle that Paul deepened for us this morning, that is in your bulletin for you to take home, that there is only one power and one presence in the universe and in my life, and that is God, and God is good. That will take away all of your reasons to fear. It will take away all of my reasons to freak out. It will take away my opportunity and willingness to play the most popular game in the world. It is more popular than all of the athletic sports put together, more popular than chess, checkers, parcheesi, and any other game you can put together, and that is the blame game. All over the world, in every race, in every culture, in every spiritual system, in every family, everyone seems to be busy playing the one most popular game in the world. It's not my fault. It's his fault. It's her fault. It's their fault. It's the economy's fault. It's the politician's fault. It's the way it is his fault. Playing the blame game. The blame game will never, ever, ever empower us. And so we in unity, who have these principles, getting to a place of believing that they are, I am who they say I am. They say that I am composed of God stuff, that the Creator has created me with an endless capacity to create, and that no matter what appears to be going on, it's got to be God, because God is the only presence. Which is why my Jewish brothers and sisters begin their prayers with the prayer formula, Baruch atah Adonai Eloheinu Melech haolam. Blessed art thou, Eternal One, our God, creator and sustainer of the universe, whose presence is in all of creation. There is nowhere that God is absent, no matter what it looks like. And therefore, I embrace another teaching I got from my sister that says, when it seems like it's falling apart, it's really coming together. If you let it, if you believe it, if you withdraw your faith in a negative outcome and focus your faith on a positive outcome. And those of us who answer, well, I've tried that, but it's been so long now that I've been on this journey, and it hasn't happened yet. My sister responds, it all works out in the end. If it hasn't worked out, it ain't the end. She never says it isn't the end. My mother taught us to read when we were 2 and 3 years old. My mother was a doctorate of education. She was really on us about using correct English. But when we grew up, we said, there's times when isn't just doesn't say it. So it all works out in the end. And if it ain't worked out yet, it ain't the end. There's sometimes when only that word expresses what is really meant. Yesterday in my Flying Lessons Part 2 workshop, it was wonderful. The first time I did the Part 1, we had 22 people there. And this time, I think we only had 5 people who were there the first time, but we had 22 people again. And it was a wonderful experience for us. One thing that was brought up, or one thing that I brought forth that is so important for me, and I trust for you, it is that if you want to fly, you do well to want everybody to fly. We want to fly, but we have individuals and groups of people we don't want to take off the ground. Some of us want to fly higher and higher so we can look down on more and more people. And it's just part of human nature that we identify individuals and collectives that we have no interest whatsoever in their flying. And so one of my brothers who was there, he said, you know, you're suggesting that I desire everybody to be able to fly, like everybody. And I think you mentioned the Southern Baptists even in your little list of who we should want to fly. I find it impossible to believe that it is my responsibility or capacity or anything I even should be doing to want them to fly, because many of those people, I'm a gay male, and many of those people wish me dead. They wish me harm. They think that I'm an abomination. They believe I'm going to burn in hell forever. And my response was, if you are so busy not wanting them to fly, if you are so busy condemning the people who condemn you, how will you ever fly? They call this the tough teachings of Jesus when he says, wish well those who wish you ill. Can you imagine if you took that on as an assignment in your family system, in your neighborhood, in your apartment complex, at your job, with your kids, with your parents, with your siblings, to wish well those who wish you ill? Then he goes on to say, bless those who curse you. If you want to fly, and you want to fly high, this is your ticket to taking off and soaring. Many of us will say, that ticket costs too much. That's too expensive. Bless those who curse me. Send out positive energy to someone who is sending me negative energy. Shouldn't I be about trying to curse them and trying to change them? You don't have any power. If there is anybody anywhere who hates people like me, I'm not going to get them to change their mind. Where do I have authority? Where do I have power? To sit back and react by returning a curse for a curse, or to respond by saying, I'm going to rise above this game of playing the blame game and invoicing them for my littleness, for my fear, for my anxiety, and for the unfairness of life on planet Earth. My mother worked with my aunt through about 30 years of work, beginning in the late 50s, to end sexism, racism, and homophobia. They worked together, but they worked in entirely different frames of mind. My Aunt Lillian was an angry, raging black woman. She was spitting bullets all the time about white folk and what they ain't gonna do and da, da, da. And my mother was smiling and saying, isn't this wonderful? We have unlimited opportunity to affect a change. If you want to be the light of the world, which is what you were born to be, expect that you will enter into an arena of darkness, the appearance of darkness. We encounter experience of darkness, and we fight against the darkness thinking something's wrong. Why are these people so dark? Why is this situation so dark? Why is this political arena so dark? Why is it da-da-da-da? And you know why it appears to be so dark? So you can show up as the light, show up like my mama, going, isn't this wonderful? I just discovered that I moved into a neighborhood filled with racists. I smiled at about 12 people just going to the store, and honey, they cut their eyes at me. If looks could kill, I'd be dead. Isn't this wonderful? There is so much opportunity for me to be a transforming power in this neighborhood. Can you imagine? Dropping the story of your pain, ripping up your invoices to the people who molested you, to the people who used and abused you, to the people who were racist with you or sexist with you or homophobic with you, ripping up your invoices to the Republicans, ripping up your invoices to the Southern Baptists. Can you imagine taking back your power from everyone you have ever given it to? This is how you will fly. You can read every book in that bookstore. You can show up here every single Sunday. You can go to every class and workshop that this organization offers. And you can desire with all of your heart to truly fly, to rise above the cares and troubles of your life experience, to rise above your sense of powerlessness into the skies of powerfulness. It comes at a cost. For some of you, it's too great a cost. But for some of you, you are appreciating the reminder today, and you have discovered you are tired of being weary, tired of being confused, tired of being disappointed that other people or groups of people or organizations of people or religious people will get their act together. You will decide right here and right now there's only one person whose act you can get together, and that is yours. And it comes at the cost of wishing well those who wish you ill. Blessing those who curse you. How high will you fly? Only as high as to the degree that you are willing to quit playing the blame game. Only as high as you are willing to simply let other people off the hook, because it's not really them who's on the hook. When you think you have them on the hook, you've hooked yourself. The person you have handcuffed is handcuffed to you, which is why the scripture says, "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me. God has anointed me to set at liberty those whom I have bound." One thing I've discovered in my life, when I make a decision to release someone I have been holding a grievance with, I have no idea what it does for them, but I weep like a little baby about what it does for me. I'm suddenly back in the garden. I'm suddenly back connected to my Creator. So this is what I believe. The cost of not blessing them, the cost of not wishing them well, is far greater than any cost I ever contemplated of being willing to fly. The people we do not bless, we are anchored to. And we hear a great song or a great sermon or read a great book or have a great experience, and we take off only to, boom, a high from a church service on a Sunday, Monday and Tuesday until about noon, and then boom, we notice something. We judge it to be wrong. We curse it righteously. And boom, and our soul is saying, "How high will you fly?" It is up to us. That's about all I have to say. Peace.
Thank you, Carlos. Wonderful reminder. Oh, I needed that reminder this week, watching the news. A lot of prayer going on. Seeing beyond the personalities, beyond the egos, and seeing the Christ within somewhere. That was my prayer. So know that no political party has the power to take your joy away, to take your peace away. No employer or coworker or family member can do that. Only I can give my joy, my peace, my power to someone else. And now we reclaim it. So I invite you to close your eyes as we begin the process of letting go and knowing there's only one power, one presence actively at work. That already I am so blessed for all that I have, all that I am, and all that God is. Breathe in peace. And breathe out anxiety. Breathe in joy. Breathe out hate. I am so blessed. little quieter.
I am so blessed. I am so blessed. I am so grateful for all that God is. I am so blessed.
What does it mean to be blessed? It means I am aware of the one power and one presence, God the good. And as I become aware of that energy, that love, that joy, that peace, it anoints me. It moves through every part of my being, every cell, every tissue, every thought, every breath. I am awakened to the truth of God, to the truth of my spiritual identity. I am blessed. I am aware. I am awake to my power, to my good. As we know in unity, God is good, absolute good. There's nothing but goodness in God. And as a creation of God, I am good. God cannot create anything but itself, herself, itself, himself. Therefore, good is what you are. And if there seems to be a part of my life that is not reflecting that good, it simply means I forgot. I simply forgot who I am. The powerful child of a powerful creator. Endowed with love, light, life, peace, joy, success, wholeness. All that God is right here, right now. My job is to activate it, to see it and to put it into use in my life and on the planet. And that's what our brother said when he said, greater works than these will you do. What you're seeing me do, you will do and more when you awaken to your blessing, to your truth. So my first job is to forgive. I invite you to bring to mind anybody who is seemingly holding back your good. It could be a politician, it can be a boss or a parent. Someone that you've given your power away to, someone you forgot doesn't hold your power. Surround them in light, surround them in love, and give them back to God. Release them to their creator and know that God is at work in both of you, that your power never was taken away. It may have paused for a moment, but your power is always here. And as we release and let go of these individuals, we know that you now have the power within you to do anything. There is nothing stopping your good from coming forth. So today I silently affirm the truth. I am whole and well. I rise above the appearance of illness or dis-ease. I am whole and well, and I rise above the appearance of illness and dis-ease. Bring that truth into your heart and let God reveal it as your truth. with every fiber of our being that we were created in the beginning, eons ago, to be abundantly blessed. There is no lack of God good anywhere, only in my mind's creation. But the truth is, you are, I am, we are prosperous children of God. I am prosperous and successful. I rise above lack and limited thought. I am prosperous and successful. I rise above lack and limited thought. Breathe that truth in. Let it take hold. Love, light, peace, joy, any good you can imagine and more is all right here. I am guided perfectly to my good. I am guided perfectly to my good. In the silence of your being, just for a few moments, one brief moment is all it takes to know that God and I are one. In the silence, know there is no power, no presence, except God. Breathe in. Take a deep breath in and let go. We are centered, poised in the divine flow of love, light, peace, and all good. This is the true nature of who and what we are. There is only one power, one presence at work in the universe and in my life. God, the good.